morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I'm your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. If you'll listen, your eyes may be opened and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these things. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, although it's going to be difficult to top the addition of a Monopoly piece, people climbing stairs, and a $200 million credit card mishandling, we are still going to do our best to help you understand what is occurring behind, well, at least other headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we're going to turn our attention back to Yahweh and his creation account by studying his one and only Torah, his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with him. Our phone number for those who would like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said today over the next 2 hours is 877-300-7645. Yes, indeed, that was some news. Monopoly is adding a token to its game. There are some folks that are going to climb stairs in an office building. And the government is now saying that $200 million being lost is, in a word, massive. You know how much $200 million represents of how much America has lost over these last score or so of years? It represents 1/80,000th of the national debt. You know, it's not 1% of the national debt. It's not 0.1%. Or 0.01%, or 0.001%, or even 0.001%. It's 1/80,000% of our national debt. Good grief. Speaking of something that was massive, an 8.0 earthquake, magnitude earthquakes, used to be quite rare on our planet. They are no longer rare. They are very common today. Yahweh told us this would be the case. He said that megaseismos, which is great shaking and movement, would afflict our planet as birth pangs, leading to his return. We're only now 20 years and a few months from his return. And so we are seeing this swarm, these birth pangs of major earthquakes and the tsunamis that follow them, both fall into the category of megaseismos, of massive movement, just as the storms that, particularly the tornadoes that have been plaguing the United States here more recently, more massively, and earlier than ever before. There were at least 5 people killed in the tsunami that followed these earthquakes. And, of course, that death toll will rise as people dig out from underneath the rubble. A Tunisian opposition politician was murdered today. It sent protesters into the streets and cities nationwide of Tunisia after the uprising that swept Tunisia's president from power and inflamed the Arab world. We all know that what was misnamed the Arab Spring began in Tunisia. Now, the Tunisians are only Arab in the sense that they were conquered by the first Muslims, who were savage barbarians. And the Arabian Muslims were so vicious that they killed the men, enslaved the children, and raped the women. And so peoples that were genetically African became Arab only through conquest and rape. And so to call Tunisia Arab is to say that is a legacy of what may have been the most evil period in human history, the period of Islam's formation and the 100 years that followed it. You know, Muhammad led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. 75 terrorist raids. Killing every man that wouldn't submit. Raping every woman whose town or city was conquered. Enslaving all of the children, stealing all of the property. And once they had overhunted Jews, they turned to Arabs in Arabia. And once they had overhunted Arabs, they turned their covetousness on the rest of the world. Slaughtered what may be over 100 million Indians, Persians, and then moved through the Byzantine world, and then across northern Africa to the gates of Europe. Well, the legacy of that is this disease that is crippling the world known as Islam. Tunisia was the first country to replace a secular government, dictatorial as it may have been, with an Islamic government. It was not an Arab Spring. It turned out to be an Islamic Reformation. And today the murder was to kill the most powerful voice of the secularist in Tunisia. It's very much like what happened in Lebanon when Hezbollah gained enough influence and weaponry in Lebanon, then it caused the only opposition voice of any courage, killed him, murdered him, just as they have now done in Tunisia. Murder is a very effective, although crude, tool to silence debate. The headquarters of the moderate Islamist is going to call the Ennahda party. It's not moderate Islamist. It is a fundamentalist Islamist party, which rules a coalition in Tunisia. You know, it's just so amazing that when the Ennahda party was running, there was all of this rhetoric about it being moderate because it was not associating itself with the Muslim Brotherhood. But in fact, every comment made by the Ennahda party showed that it was no different than the Muslim Brotherhood. They expressly said, no, we're fundamentalist Muslims. Overtly. To say the only thing that's different between the Ennahda party and the Muslim Brotherhood is the Muslim Brotherhood emanates from Egypt. We're here in Tunisia, and the Ennahda party is Tunisia's version of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's just a fundamentalist Islamic party. And that was demonstrated to be true immediately after the elections with the Ennahda party trying to install fundamentalist Islamic values, which are anti-values from a Western perspective. And so it's known that they're not moderate. So it's odd that it would be written here. In fact, in Islam, there is no moderate Muslim who has any influence in the world. This was a debate that I had very early on, is after I wrote Prophet of Doom, to demonstrate that there is no moderate Muslim, no peaceful Muslim anywhere in the world that has any influence. If you are a outspoken Muslim against terrorism, against the imposition of Sharia law, for example, if you are viewed as a moderate, you'll be killed. There is no backing anywhere in the Islamic world for a moderate Muslim. In fact, the few that exist are Sufis, not Salafis, Sufis, and Sufis represent just a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of 1% of Muslims around the world. And these are spiritualist Muslims who just ignore almost everything that is known about Muhammad and Islam. They ignore 90% of what's written in the Quran. So the headquarters of the Islamist Ennahda party, and it's kind of funny here, they call it a moderate Islamist party. Islamist is the term that was coined to describe what was originally called radical Islam. You know, the Islam of the terrorist. And so to use Islamist is to say jihadist Islam. And now they're saying a moderate jihadist. What's a moderate jihadist is one when given the option of blowing a suicide vest up in a market full of women and children, chooses to eliminate the rat poison so that when all the metal shrapnel goes out from the suicide vest, people don't bleed to death? Is it one that says rather than 5 pounds of explosive in my suicide vest, I'm only going to put in 4? Does that make them a moderate Islamist? Anyway, it rules Tunisia now. And it was set ablaze after Corey Belaid, an outspoken critic of the Islamic government, was gunned down outside of his home. Prime Minister Hamadi Jebali, who said the identity of the attacker was not known, condemned Belaid's killing as a political assassination and a strike against the, quote, Arab Spring Revolution. Anada denied any involvement in the killing. Well, the fact of the matter is that Anada, even if they weren't directly involved, this was their most outspoken opponent, their lead rival. He was the most courageous voice of the secularists who were completely eliminated from governance during this Islamic Reformation in Tunisia. Now, despite calls for calm from the president, 8,000 protesters massed outside the Interior Ministry calling for the fall of the government, and thousands more demonstrated in cities including Mahdia, Sousse, Monastir, and Sidi Bouzid, the cradle of the revolution, where police fired tear gas and warning shots. Now, the police are working on behalf of the Islamists. This is a black day in the history of Tunisia. Today, this is a quote, we say to the Islamists, get out, enough is enough, said a 40-year-old school teacher outside the Interior Ministry in Tunisia. Tunis will sink in the blood if you stay in power. This is a secularist in Tunisia who knows the truth. That Islamists seized control of that country, that it went from bad to much, much worse, and that there's nothing but a river of blood that flows from the feet of fundamentalist Muslims. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. If you'd like to engage in this discussion, you can do so toll-free, 877-300-7645. This article reads that the small African state, and it's Tunisia is not particularly small, was the first Arab country, and it's not really an Arab country. It Arabia would be an Arab country. It is a North African state ousted its dictatorial leader to hold free elections as uprisings spread around the region, leading to the ousting of rulers in Egypt, in Yemen, in Libya, and to the civil war in Syria. That's really a misnomer there. The peaceful protests in Syria were probably a direct derivative of the Tunisian, Egyptian, Yemen, and Libyan revolutions. But the civil war in Syria is actually a derivative of the United States invasion of Iraq, giving Iraq to Iran and spreading of Iran's influence, and now Saudi Arabia and Qatar in particular responding to Iran in a proxy war. This article continues, but like in Egypt, many who have campaigned for freedom from repression under autocratic rulers, by the way, the Tunisian people were not oppressed under the dictator. Amongst dictators in the world, he was amongst the most benevolent, amongst the least violent, amongst the least oppressive dictators in the world. Does not make him a good guy, but amongst the kinds of dictators that we see in the Islamic world, he was a prince. Anyway, the article says, and better prospects for their future, they now feel that their revolutions have been hijacked by Islamists, something that we told you was happening contemporaneous with the events themselves. In fact, during the time of this revolution in Tunisia, I had friends in Tunisia who wrote us letters whereby we were able to share directly with you the reality that that all of this was nothing more than an Islamic reformation, returning Tunisia to fundamentalist Islam. And that is precisely what is happening, even though the world does not want to admit it. Continuing with the articles, the country not only has been hijacked by Islamists, but as a result, they, rather than gaining their personal freedoms, the Tunisians are now recognizing that they have lost personal freedoms, and there are no signs of jobs. In fact, employment has decreased, not increased. And there's a reason for that. Islam is based entirely on the life of Muhammad, the words and deeds of Muhammad. Muhammad never worked a day in his life at anything other than the things that he focused his life on. Muhammad's life, his life work, was primarily to be a terrorist. He even said, "I have become victorious with terror." He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. He was an armed robber, and so armed robbery is considered one of the meritorious deeds in Islam. He was an arsonist. He began to finance his new religion through kidnapping for ransom, and he continued to kidnap for ransom throughout the remainder of his life. His most effective tool in financing his new religion, other than armed robbery, was the slave trade, and he was a turnkey provider in this regard. He not only killed the men associated with the children that he would enslave, and used the women as bait because he allowed his thugs, the first Muslims, to rape the women of the communities they conquered. And he thereby not only enslaved the children, but then he provided the transportation and the wherewithal to sell them. Full service, turnkey, when it came to the slave trade. He was a mass murderer. So if, in addition to being a rapist and a pedophile, so those are the kinds of job opportunities that you would expect under an Islamic regime. The article continues. Since the uprising, the government has faced a string of protests over economic hardship and Tunisia's future path, with many complaining that hardline Salafists have taken over the revolution in the former French colony, dominated previously by a secular elite under the dictatorship of Zine Al Abidine Ben Ali. Yes, at one time, not too very long ago, Tunisia had a secular dictator, and now it is controlled by hardline Salafists. A Salafist is a fundamentalist Muslim who adheres to the teachings and to the life and to the example of Muhammad as it is presented in the Quran and Hadith. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The Salafist group that now control Tunisia. A Salafist is a fundamentalist Muslim. Salafist means ancestor. That means that these Muslims want to identify themselves with the first Muslims, who were amongst the most repulsive people who ever lived. They were slave traders. They were rapists. They were mass murderers. They were just... generally into mischief and mayhem, and that was their lives. And so the more you are a Salafist and the more you identify with that behavior, as it's presented in the Quran and Hadith, from the, which would be the oral testimony of the Salafis, of the ancestors, the more heinous your behavior is going to become. So last year, the Salafis began to prevent concerts and plays from taking place, and they began to crack down on any public discussion, be saying that such things violated Islamic principles. Worrying that the, of course, worrying the secular-minded Tunisians that freedom of expression was no longer going to be tolerated in an Islamic Tunisia. Declining trade has left Tunisians struggling to achieve a standard of living that can be tolerated. They had hoped that it would improve following Ben Ali's departure, but the fact is that it has gone exactly in the opposite direction. The economy has cratered, just as is the case in Egypt. Egypt is absolutely bankrupt. They have less than 3 months in foreign exchange deposits, 3 months government operating costs in reserves, and that's after being bailed out both by the United States and by Qatar. And today, they even accepted money from Iran. President Moncef Marzouki, who last month warned the tensions between secularists and Islamists would lead to civil war, canceled a visit to Egypt scheduled for Thursday and cut short a trip to France where he was going to address the European Parliament. French President François Hollande, the communist who is now engaged in war in neighboring Mali, condemned the shooting, saying that he was concerned by the rise of violence in Paris's former dominion, where the government says that Al-Qaeda-linked militants linked to those in neighboring countries have been accumulating weapons with the aim of creating an Islamic State. Well, they've already created an Islamic State in Tunisia. They've done so with American and French and British weapons in neighboring Libya. And, of course, it is those same countries that is propping up the military in Egypt and funneling weapons to Syria, where they're being deployed to kill tens of thousands of people. And, of course, it was those weapons that killed the American ambassador. It was those same weapons that were deployed in the terrorist attack on the Algerian gas facility. Yes, it is true that the north of Africa, which had secular dictators and is now Islamic, has become a weapons bazaar for jihadists. And the likelihood is that there will be a unified Islamic caliphate over the north of Africa. And while there may continue to be independent Islamic countries, they will be united and unified in Islam. This murder, this is a quote, deprives Tunisia of its most courageous and free voices, Holliday's office said in a statement. Yes, it does. That was the reason he was killed. Free expression is not tolerated in any place where Islam influences the debate. Turning now to news in Bulgaria, we reported this story back in July of 2012. A bus bombing that killed five Israelis and a driver in Bulgaria was the work of Lebanon's Hezbollah military group, is what the officials have said. Hezbollah, which means Allah's party, is not a Lebanese group. There are Lebanese members of Hezbollah, and in fact, Hezbollah controls Lebanon, but Hezbollah is part of the Iranian theocracy. Hezbollah is the militant arm, the Mujahideen arm, the jihadist arm of the Iranian government. It is as much part of Iran as the U.S. Marines are part of the United States. So there isn't a Lebanon Hezbollah. There's an Iranian Hezbollah, which is deployed in Lebanon. The attack in the Black Sea resort of Burgas in July 2012 was carried out by a bomber who died in the scene. Yes, they call them suicide bombers for a reason. But police and the Bulgarian officials said that he was part of a Hezbollah cell that included two other operatives using passports from Australia and Canada. Well, this is the second time that Canada has been in the news relative to Islamic terrorists. The operative for the lead operative for the attack on the Algerian gas facility that left 70 people dead was also from Canada. Israel also links Iran to the attack. Well, Israel doesn't have to do that if anybody is thinking. Hezbollah is part of Iran, which injured some 30 people. Iran has also always denied involvement because Muslims lie. That is part of their religion. It is considered good to lie in Islam. Unveiling the results of a six-month inquiry in Sofia on Tuesday, Interior Minister said that the Australian and Canadian passport holders were directly linked to Hezbollah. We have established that the two were members of the militant wing of Hezbollah, he said. There is data showing that the financing and connection between Hezbollah and the two suspects. The pair had lived in Lebanon since 2006 and 2010, respectively. The reality is that it does not matter the nationality. All that matters is the religion. These were religious terrorists. They were Islamic terrorists. Muslims commit 99% of the terrorist acts perpetrated on the world today. You may not care to engage, to investigate, to shed your apathy or ignorance as it relates to Islam and deal with the reality that it is a terrorist dogma. But you need to know that ignorance is not bliss. If the world continues to lie about Islam, continues to embrace Islam, continues to pretend that this was an Arab spring that spread across northern Africa and throughout the Middle East as opposed to an Islamic reformation, if it does not come to realize that some two-thirds of Muslims today are fundamentalists and that Islam is a cancer, then it will cost them dearly. At least 56 people were killed just in this week alone in fighting in northern Syria between anti-government rebels and members, this time now of the long-oppressed Kurdish minority, who have seized on the civil war to try to secure self-rule. Same thing came true in Iraq. The only benefit of America's invasion of Iraq is that the Kurds developed their own country. It's not recognized by anybody in the world, but the Kurds established their own country in northern Iraq. America was universally opposed to it, but it was the only positive thing that came out of America's invasion of Iraq is that there is a Kurdish domain administration, if you will, in northern Iraq. Because the Kurds, which are the largest racial minority in the world, that are without a homeland, without any autonomy, are oppressed savagely by the Iranian Muslims, by the Iraqi Muslims, by the Turkish Muslims, by the Syrian Muslims, and by Muslims around the world. You know, this whole thing about the so-called Palestinians, well, Palestinians are a myth. There is no Palestinian people. There are Kurdish people. There is no place called Palestine, but the Kurds have lived in the region bordered by eastern Turkey and northern Iraq, Iran, eastern Syria for a very long time, for hundreds if not thousands of years. Well, certainly hundreds of years. And yet, they are universally oppressed. Now, they're in a real pickle here because they can't side with the Sunni Mujahideen because the Sunni Mujahideen will treat them like all fundamentalist Muslims do. Even though they are Muslims, they are treated as animals by Sunni Muslims just as they're treated as animals by Shia Muslims. The British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which collates reports on Syria's violence from local activists, said on Tuesday that the anti-Damascus rebels were using tanks and mortars against the Kurdish forces. Now think about that. These are the rebels. You know, the world sought to level the playing field in Syria and to equip the Mujahideen, the Islamic terrorists that were opposing Assad's dictatorial regime, with weapons that, so that they could down airplanes and helicopters with surface-to-air missiles, so that they could counter 50-caliber machine guns with other 50-caliber machine guns, so that they would have anti-tank weapons. And they have them, but now they're deploying tanks themselves. They're using tanks and mortars, and they're not using the tanks and mortars now on the Syrian military, who are the Mujahideen who America and Saudi Arabia and Qatar are equipping, are using the tanks on the Kurds. This is despicable. Why the world continues to try to resolve problems by supplying arms is a mystery. Well, in a separate incident, it said that at least 42 people, including mostly women and children, had been murdered when a car bomb targeting pro-government militia went off Monday evening in a town called Salamia near the central city of Hama. And so here's a suicide bomber, one part of the Mujahideen that America is supplying weapons to, went off and killed women and children, 42 people. A case of premature explosion, I guess. But nonetheless, who are the murderers in this case? Why in the world would any country in the world support these jihadists? Back to Shattering Mists. For those who would like to engage in this discussion, our number is 877-300-7645. We now have the Sunni, this article says Arab rebels. They're not Arab rebels. They're Sunni, Mujahideen, fundamentalist Muslims, jihadists. They are not only engaging government forces, they're also killing more peaceful Muslims. Any Muslim that doesn't want to join the jihad is encouraged to do so, a threat of death. They're killing their own. They're killing Kurds. Given the opportunity, they will begin to kill Christians. They'll wipe out the Christian population of Syria should they prevail. They are now attacking the Kurds, who have used this conflict between Assad and these Mujahideen to set up Kurdish schools and cultural centers. And they have tried to remain at arm's length from the Islamist-dominated Sunni Arab rebels. You see, what you have there is the majority of Syria is Sunni Muslims. The government is linked to Iran. And are Shiites, Alawites, which is a subset of the Shia. And so the Saudi Arabians and the Qataris have been supplying weapons to fight a proxy war against Iran in Syria. The Kurds, who have been discriminated against in Iran and in Iraq, and in Syria, of course, and, of course, mostly in Turkey, have used this as an opportunity to say, we don't want any part of your revolt, y'all. You go and kill each other if you want to, but we just like not to participate. Well, Muslims can't tolerate that, so the Islamist-dominated Sunni rebels started to attack them with weapons such as tanks and mortars. The finding is one of many sectarian, this article says, or ethnic fault lines that have prevented the emergence of a single coherent Muslim to try to oust President Bashar al-Assad since insurgents took up arms after the government cracked down on peaceful protests in 2011. Boy, the stupidity of this journalist. And a stupidity of the world that thinks that there will be a single coherent movement to oust President Bashar al-Assad. The Shias all support him. Hezbollah supports him. The fact is that Christians are in Assad's camp because they know that if the rebels prevail, they're as good as dead. The Kurds want no part of it. They don't trust the viciousness that is fundamentalist Sunni Islam. And so there can't be a single coherent movement because you have thugs fighting thugs. There is no lesser of two evils in this particular case. And the armed struggle did not emerge because the government cracked down on the peaceful protests. It emerged because Saudi Arabia, in principle, decided to use this as its proxy war to thwart the growing influence of Iran after America invaded Iraq and gave Iraq to Iran. Since then, the article continues, the conflict has become a full-scale civil war in which more than 60,000 people have been killed, 650,000 have been forced to flee the country. Most of those who have fled the country said that they did so not because they were afraid of losing their lives, but because of the rampant rapists that are pervasive among the Sunni rebels that America and other countries are supporting. A video posted online showed men and women gathering around a street strewn with rubble that the observatory said was the site of a blast in Salamia. This is, of course, a blast that was perpetrated by the rebels, not by the government. The state news agency Sana said that the blast had been caused by a suicide bomber and that 25 people had been murdered. Reuters, of course, cannot verify any reports from inside Syria because the government severely limits access for independent media, and because those who are riding along with the jihadists are kidnapped and ransomed, they're threatened with their lives. It is a situation for which there is no solution, and the worst thing that could possibly happen is what the world is doing, which is filling the region with ever more arms. This Arab Spring has turned into nothing more than a weapons bonanza for fundamentalist Muslims. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We will return to Yah's creation account after the news.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that